You take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Genesis chapter 40. I'm going to preach a Thanksgiving message. It may seem like a strange place to go with so many other passages that we could look at from God's Word, but the Lord kind of spoke to me as I read through the book of Genesis not too long ago about this particular passage of Scripture, and I've entitled the message today, "The Man Who Forgot to Be Thankful." The man who forgot, and I put forgot in parentheses because it was a deliberate forgetfulness. And I'm going to focus in on that particular thing today because I'm afraid that many of us forget to be thankful. We get so busy that we just use that as an excuse. Well, I don't thank the Lord like I ought to just because I'm just so busy. Well, you know what? You made a decision. You made a decision to be busy. That's a choice. And then to not be thankful is a choice then. To excuse it by just saying, well, I'm busy, is to overlook the heart of why you're not thankful. And so I'm going to hone in on the attitude of thanksgiving, and I want to read through the 23 verses of chapter 40 because we're going to look at what happened here in the life of Joseph, which seemed to be a disaster, and yet God used to open doors of opportunity that later on he would reflect upon and said, God had me there at this time for a particular purpose. He had a thankful spirit in spite of it all. Let's begin reading at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Have you ever been sad after a dream? Okay. Some of you are already dreaming because you've already fallen asleep. I see some heads kind of slowly getting back up again. All right. So I hope you're not sad right now. I hope you're glad. But have you ever had one of those dreams that just made you really sad? You're thinking about, you know, some bad dream that you had, that somebody close to you died in your dream and you're just sad about that. Now, they're not dead, but you had a dream about them that made you sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers, this is Joseph, that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Now notice the first one to speak up. This is important. Who is it? It's the butler. By the way, there's a good saying. I know people always confuse which one lived. All right, anybody know what I'm talking about? Just remember this little expression. Bad for the baker, beautiful for the butler. That'll help you to remember which one lived. It was bad for the baker because he had his head chopped off. It was beautiful for the butler because he got restored after 3 days to his role back in the palace. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded. And her blossom shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner, when thou wast his butler. Verse 14 is important. But think on me, when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness. I pray thee unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that I should be put into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Let me give you two different Hebrew translations of this verse that I've seen from different Hebrew scholars. Listen to this one. Pharaoh's wine tester, however, promptly forgot all about Joseph, never giving him a thought. And then another Hebrew scholar translated it, despite all this, the senior butler not only did not remember Joseph, but deliberately forgot him. Now, when you let the language speak this morning, you see that here was a man who was probably going to be executed, and yet because of his acquaintance with Joseph and God sending the dream, he finds out that he's going to live and that in 3 days he's going to be restored. Now, let me just tell you something. Would you forget the person that told you the interpretation of your dream that allows you to go back to work and you're going to live and not die? Would you forget that? You know, we forget a lot of things. But I want to tell you something, that life-changing moment, you just don't easily forget. So he deliberately put it out of his mind. He not only did not remember, but he deliberately forgot him. I want us to turn to the Lord right now, and I want Him to ask Him to work in our hearts today as we approach this Thanksgiving season, that we not live lives of deliberately putting out of our mind things for which we ought to be thankful. Deliberately, I can't think of a thing to be thankful for. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you if that's the attitude of your heart this morning. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts today. Lord, the butler forgot to be thankful. He put it out of his mind deliberately, rather than helping this servant who had told him that he would live and not die, that he would be restored and not forgotten in prison. And yet he forgot Joseph. I pray that You would teach us the lessons that You'd have us to learn today. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want us to think for just a moment here. Put this thought in your mind. The butler could not have completely forgotten about Joseph. He just could not have. You think about events that happen. I can tell you the names of hurricanes going back to my childhood because they were traumatic events. I remember Hurricane Camille in 1969. I was 5 years old, 6 years old at the time, and I remember the howling noises all night long. I could not sleep. I stayed in the living room with my parents. I could hear things hitting the roof of the house. Camille was a huge storm. At the core was over 200 mile an hour winds. It devastated Mississippi. We were on the right hand side of the storm and we got a lot of wind. We had a lot of broken branches. We had a lot of damage in Milton from Hurricane Camille, but I'll never forget it. I could take you to Frederick in 1979 and the damage that was done. I could take you to 1995 when we had Hurricane Aaron and Opal. And I can take you through all the different hurricanes that we've had over the years. It's just embedded in my mind. I don't forget them. There's a lot of things that I remember from my childhood. I remember some of the Come to Jesus meetings that I had with my parents. All right? that were moments in my life that taught me lessons that I've not forgotten. How could you forget a man interpreting your dream and giving you the wonderful good news that in 3 days you're going to be restored and you're going to be back in the palace and you're going to be serving the king? Would you forget that? Even with the worst memory, you wouldn't forget that. So what was going on here? What was going on here? Well, I think there's probably a lot of factors. Number one was fear. Fear of Pharaoh. You know, if I bring up Joseph to the king and I tell him about this man, maybe he'll kill Joseph. Or maybe he'll kill me, put me back in prison. You know the what-ifs that we always throw up? What if this were to happen? What if that were to happen? You know, if I get on an airplane, what if it crashes? If I get in the car, what if we have a wreck? You can live with what-ifs and live in fear. Never leave your house. Is that the right way to live? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Whatever reason, the butler, he had to purposefully put out of his mind Joseph. In the next chapter, we read about how many years it was before he brought up Joseph's name before Pharaoh. Would you look at that next chapter, please? Chapter 41, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Now, when the Bible goes to the detail of saying 2 full years, how many years is that? 2 full years. All right?
Well, actually, it was 18 months.
No, it was 2 full years. And the Bible goes to that detail because God wants to make a point here. 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed cows. And they fed in a meadow, and behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine, so Pharaoh awoke. That's pretty scary. Skinny, withdrawn cows eating up the fat cows. That'd be a pretty scary dream. I'd wake up too. That's exactly what he did. And it says in verse 5, and he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke. And behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Now just remember, Pharaoh was pretty good about throwing his workers in jail whenever they crossed him. Remember the butler and the baker? All right. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Isn't that an interesting way to start a conversation? Mr. O'Pager, upon seeing you, I'm thinking about all the evil thoughts that I've had. Okay? What? Well, where did that come from? Mr. O'Pager said, what is he talking about? Our pastor's lost his mind. Seeing you makes me remember all my faults. Okay? Now, he could take it the wrong way, couldn't he? What I must be, you know, doing. Let's move on. All right. Yeah, I remember all my faults. Now, what is he doing? He's buttering up Pharaoh. All right. Be careful about that. When you have to start a conversation buttering up somebody, something's not right about that whole situation. Just be honest. But not this guy, this butler. 2 years have passed, and he said, I remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in a ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there were there with us a young man, an Hebrew servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. Now, I'm not going to read any further. You know what? Sometimes God's plans require us to wait. The ingratitude of this butler caused 2 years to pass, but God was working all along in spite of it. Amen? We can sit around and we can talk bad about the butler. And I've got a few things to say about him, because I see myself in the butler. I see myself in the butler. And I've had to ask God, Lord, help me. Help me not to forget those that are doing what's right and honoring the Lord. Help me not to forget them. Help me to remember them. But God had a whole plan here, because in 2 years after that butler left, the butler would be there to tell Pharaoh about Joseph in prison. Now, wouldn't it have been nice if Joseph could have been released right away? We would all say, well, of course it would be. Poor Joseph was completely innocent. Let me tell you something about God's will. And you better learn this. I better learn this. Sometimes God puts us through tribulation and trials and difficulties because He's got a big picture plan that He's unfolding. The big picture plan was 7 years of famine in Egypt. The big picture plan was bringing Jacob and his brothers to Egypt. The big picture plan was bringing the people of Israel into Egypt, because God was going to do a work that we'll still talk about today. The great deliverance of the children of Israel. You see, God's big picture, we're a little bitty small picture. When we live, you know, why am I sitting at this stoplight? Has been red for at least an hour. No, it hasn't been an hour. It's only been 60 seconds. All right? But we're like, you know, revving the engine, ready to go. First one in line so we can burn out so we can hit the next stoplight, right? We can beat everybody else there. We live in a very impatient world, but God's not that way. God was working in Joseph. Those 2 long years in prison, God was getting him ready for the palace. Do you know that you can be trained for the palace while living in prison? That seems counterintuitive, does it not? Wouldn't you think that you'd want to be prepared in a palace if you're going to serve in a palace? Not God! Not with His people! What did He do with Moses? He came from the palace and then spent 40 years in the wilderness to get ready so He could lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Not exactly what we would think would be the way that somebody would be prepared, but God knows how to prepare us for the work that He wants us to do. Those 2 long years were preparation years for Joseph. But it doesn't take away the fact of the butler. It doesn't take away, because there are really 2 separate stories here. Yes, the butler brought it up at the right time. He had no idea that he was, but he brought up at the right time, God's time, where Joseph would be lifted out of prison and put into the palace. So that preparation could be made for those 7 long years of famine. God knew that Joseph would be the right person to lead that and put him in a place of power and position so when his brothers came back, they could see what God had done and the testimony of Joseph. Number one, I want to give you this thought. There are many who are unthankful for the deliverance of God in their difficult circumstances. I don't know about you, but I thought about this butler, his first night back in the palace after being in prison. Have you ever gone somewhere, maybe out of the country? I remember in 2005 when I came back from India, boy, I was battling jet lag, but I want to tell you, I was so happy when I crawled in my bed at home. Woo! I had spent 3 weeks over in India. I had slept on this little tiny Indian bed, and it was not the most comfortable, but that's where God wanted me. And I remember crawling into my bed and, oh, this is glorious! Here was the butler back in the palace. After living in the prison for an undetermined amount of time, the Bible doesn't tell us, but he gets back home and he's laying there in bed. Now, what is he thinking? I know what he was thinking. Joseph was right. Joseph was right. The dream that I had has been fulfilled, and tomorrow morning I'm back with the king, making his cup for him to drink. And yet it never went beyond that. It never went beyond that. Who did Joseph tell him was the interpreter of dreams? Did you see that when we read that? Are not the interpretation of dreams from God? Joseph used the opportunity to be a witness to the butler and the baker that their dreams were sent of God and the interpretations came from God for them to understand. And yet never once does the butler say anything about, you know, Joseph's God sent that dream for me so that I would know what my future would hold. You see, folks, we need to understand something. Whenever God does a work in our hearts and lives, no matter what it is, whether it's healing from sickness, or maybe it's getting us through a difficult time where we've lost a loved one and God just brings us through that particular time and we see His hand all along, what should you and I be doing? You and I should be thankful. You and I should be thankful throughout that entire process that though we don't understand what's happening at the time and we don't understand the sorrow and the grief and the trouble and the difficulty that we're going through, we don't understand it, but we do know this: God is good. I went over to visit Mom yesterday, and she had a chemo treatment this past week, and she's been down for the last few days. And we were talking in the living room, and she was telling me a little bit about what happened and treatment. She met a fellow that was there that was having his treatment. He fell asleep. He woke up after 2.5 hours, got up, and started walking out the door. And I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm all done." He said, "No, no, you're not. You still got 2 more hours to go." He said, "I must have been having a dream. I dreamed that y'all told me to get up and leave." And so everyone was chuckling, and he was chuckling, and he said, "Well, I'm going to go back and have another nap." And they were having a good time, but Mom began to say how much she was thankful for and how God brought her through this next series of treatment. She broke down twice while she was just communicating how God had been so good to help her get through that time and how God was working every step of the way. And I said, "Mom," I said, "the Lord has put you on this road for a reason. He's put us all on this road, but for you especially on this road. And you're responding rightly. You're responding rightly. You're thankful. Can you be thankful for radiation and chemo? Can you be thankful for cancer? Can you be thankful for those things?" Just looking at Mom, it's hard to witness that. It's hard to see what's happening in her body. But I know that God is working. And we prayed together and thanked God for what He was doing. Is it easy? No, it's not. Never easy. But what it is it teaches us that along the pathway of life, and because of the curse of sin, we've got to battle these things, cancer, strokes, heart attacks, go down the list of all those things. But the Christian can respond rightly to what God is doing in their life at any given time. Do I hear an amen? We don't have to be like the butler and deliberately forget. Let's move on to the second thing that I want to leave you with. And that is this particular thought that came to me. And if I can find it here, I hope I can share this with you. That many prove their ingratitude by their deliberate and calculated forgetfulness. Now let me say that again. Many people prove their ingratitude by their deliberate and calculated forgetfulness. How quick we are to blame God whenever we find a trial, and how slow we are to thank Him when He delivers us. What's wrong with us? We prove our ingratitude. In this case, the butler's ingratitude and self-imposed fear of Pharaoh proved hurtful to an innocent man, Joseph. 2 years Joseph lingered in prison, waiting for him to say something to Pharaoh. The butler, on the other hand, had his life. He had his job. He had his position. He was in the palace. All because Joseph happened to be in the prison at the same time he was, to share with him the interpretation of what God was going to allow happen in his life. He would get to return to the palace. I don't think people think of the destructive hurt that is caused by ingratitude. Do you realize that ingratitude is the fundamental foundation of paganism? Ingratitude is at the very heart of paganism. Romans 1, 21 through 22. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. That's what the Bible describes in Romans chapter 1, which deals with the paganism of the end times, the times that you and I are living in. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they what? Thankful. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Ingratitude is hurtful. It's hurtful when you're not thankful. It's hurtful to your children when you're not thankful in front of them. My wife, when she babysits little Preston, she takes his hands and folds his hands together. All right, let's thank the Lord Jesus for our food. He's learning. He's learning. I know that mom and dad are doing the same thing at home. Put his hands together. So we're going to thank the Lord for our food. Now, you know what he's eating? He's eating sweet potato. And he gets peas and carrots and all kinds of stuff like that. And on the peas part, I struggle with him. I understand. I know. I'm not a peas eater, all right? But, you have to be thankful, right? And we're teaching him to be thankful because we don't want Preston to be hurtful to anyone because he has a heart of ingratitude. Let me tell you something, parents. It's all right to teach your children how to be thankful. It's all right. I've heard some parents tell me over the years, well, it's wrong to force your children to say thank you. Oh, so it's okay to allow them to be ungrateful. That's okay. Is it? Think about what you're saying. How foolish it is. In life, we have to be taught things. I had to be taught to be thankful for black-eyed peas and butter beans. And all those things that I just had a hard time swallowing. My mom and dad are still scraping peas from underneath the table that I stuck up underneath there years ago. That table will never rot down because it's got pea juice holding it together. All right? But I remember, boy, it was hard to pray over those butter beans, and mom always gave me an extra helping. Now, if you like butter beans, I'll pray for you. All right? I'll pray for you. I just never was a butter bean. I love green beans and I love turnip greens and all the other stuff, but I just had a real hard time with butter beans. But we still thank God for them. And when I would walk into the pantry and I'd see the hundreds of jars of black-eyed peas and butter beans that we were going to be eating for eternity, all right? I knew that there would be food throughout the wintertime. Thank you, Lord. Lord, why did you let the butter bean crop be so big this year? It'd have been a whole lot nicer if you'd have made the green beans to be more plentiful, you know? That was the spirit of my Thanksgiving, all right? Not too thankful like I should have been. But let me just say this. We need to be teaching our children not only to be thankful, teach them to that, but be thankful in front of them and be real and genuine. Because ingratitude is hurtful. It hurts. It destroys. It's the heart of paganism. The Bible said that. Todd Brainerd didn't say that. Romans 1 teaches that. Number 3. There are the Josephs who are thankful to God amid the trials not of their own doing. You think about Joseph. You talk about tough times and tribulation and difficulty. To be sold by your own brothers into captivity, lied about to their father, to end up being picked up by Potiphar and serving there, and then to be lied about there and thrown into prison, and then to spend years there. Nothing of his own doing. He had never committed one crime. He had never done one thing wrong that would have put him in that place. But God put him there, allowed him to be there, so he could teach him to be thankful. That's part of it. One of the great things that you learn from the life of Joseph was his spirit of gratitude. That even when his brothers stood before him and he had the power of death over them, he had that kind of power as third commander, vizier in that kingdom. He had the power. He could have just poured out his wrath on his brothers. But he wept when he saw them. The Bible says that. He wept when he saw them because they were his brothers. He loved them. Thankful spirit in the heart of Joseph. Ingratitude, folks, is a sin against God. It's not only the heart of paganism, but it's a sin against God. I thought about this in regard to the testimony of going through great difficulty and struggle and trial and maintaining a thankful spirit through it all. Some months ago, during all the COVID stuff in the spring, I read the story of Tortured for Christ, which is the story of Richard Wurmbrand, who lived in Romania. 14 years he was in prison. 14 years. During those 14 years, and by the way, he was in prison for preaching the gospel in Romania. That was why he was there. He was in months of solitary confinement, years of physical torture, constant suffering from hunger and cold, the anguish of brainwashing, where they would take him in and try to strip his mind of all the training that he had received growing up. Mental cruelty. This is what he wrote in his autobiography entitled Tortured for Christ. If the heart is cleansed by the love of Jesus Christ, if the heart in return loves Him, one can resist all tortures. If you're not moved by that statement, your heart is just as hard as a rock. If the heart is cleansed by the love of Jesus Christ, and the heart in return, in other words, in response, loves Christ back, one can resist all tortures. Let me just emphasize with you here. The butler forgot Joseph. But who never did? Who never forgot Joseph? Throughout this whole story here, God is performing a work in Joseph's life. Through all the struggles and the lies and the unjust torments that he went through, serving other prisoners that himself lied about, that he had attempted to rape the wife of Potiphar. That was the lie that was put forth. It was untrue. He had fled. Lord, why am I being treated this way? That's why how most of us would respond, but not Joseph. Joseph responded with a thankful heart. And I want to illustrate this as we close our message. If you turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 50, I want you to see Joseph before his brother. His brothers were afraid. They had been revealed. They were afraid of him because they thought he was going to kill them for what they had done to him. But I want you to see Joseph's response to them in verse 19 of Genesis chapter 50. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? I'm in the place of God. God put me here. What you, notice this, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph got it. Joseph understood. Joseph had a thankful heart. Yeah, but Joseph was lied about and he was cheated out of the best years of his life with his family, with his father. Oh no, not at all. What you meant for evil, God meant for good, so that I would be here in this place to save much people alive. And who would it be? Father, his brothers, their family members, all the nieces and nephews that he had never seen before in his whole life, they would all be spared because of what Joseph went through. And he came out on the other side with a thankful heart. I want to conclude the message by reading just a few verses of a poem that you all know. Listen carefully. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you'll be singing as the days go by. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. At this Thanksgiving time, I pray that we'll be like Joseph. Amen? That we'll be like Joseph. To go through the struggle and the conflict and all the horrible things that happened to him and come out on the right side throughout it all with a thankful spirit to confront those that sold him into slavery and say, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, so that I could be here to save you. To save you. Folks, those are the words of a thankful heart. And you and I need to have that every day, every hour of every year that God gives to us. Father in heaven, I thank you for the testimony of Joseph. Lord, he was a man who went through constant struggle and difficulty, being lied about, sold into slavery, thrown into prison. He had no control over any of that. And it was all lies. And yet he responded rightly to all of that and maintained a thankful spirit throughout it all. And because of his attitude and because of your will being performed in his life and his submission to your will, he was allowed to rise to a position of great authority and power, so that he could be there to save his father and his brothers and all their families from starving to death. To be brought to the land of Egypt where there was plenty to eat, because Joseph was there conducting all of the things that needed to be done to save enough food so they'd have it throughout the entire famine. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of Joseph this morning, and I pray that we would indeed count our blessings, that we would not be overwhelmed by whatever sickness or trouble or difficulty we're going through, but that we would remain strong, knowing that your power, your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Help us to respond rightly when it comes. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.